All right, y'all. Welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and I'm joined on the phone by my friend Anthony Gregory. He's a research fellow, I think it's called, at the Independent Institute. That's independent.org. You can check him out on the blog, The Beacon, at independent.org as well. He writes for LouRockwell.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. And a lot of other places like that. If you're in Southern California, he'll be at the Libertopia thing coming up in just a couple of days, I think it is. Welcome back to the show, Anthony.
Hey, Scott. It's great to be with you.
Hey, what's the Libertopia thing? When is it?
It starts Thursday evening, and it goes through Sunday. It's in San Diego. It should be a good time.
Yeah, right on. Well, I'm sorry I can't be there. But
yeah,
sounds like
too.
A lot of fun. All right. Well, now, so here's the thing. I want to talk about the drug war, but I don't want to just preach to the choir here. And the thing is, as you well know, it's a very delicate issue for a lot of people. There's no doubt that drug abuse leads to a lot of terrible consequences for people and that kind of thing. And for a very long time, it's just been completely beyond the pale to say that we need to legalize drugs in, you know, polite society, certainly in political society in America. But, you know, there was a poll the other day that said that 50% of the American people, particularly the younger, support legalizing at least pot. And so, you know, it brings up the idea that, you know, obviously the fact is millions of people smoke pot. Probably some millions of people use cocaine in this country. They're not all criminals. We have a very broken system in very many ways. But I wonder how you think is the best way to approach one of these people who said no way to that poll, you know, say some golfing, retired, conservative, Republican voter types who just can't imagine the insanity of such a thing as saying it's just okay to use drugs and legalize and allow this libertine, self-destructive plague in our society, etc. like that. You know where they're coming from. How do you address their concerns? How do you make your legalized drugs argument acceptable to even hear?
Well, I think, you know, I certainly don't consider myself a conservative, but I think even a conservative should oppose prohibitions on marijuana. It is news that now half of Americans support legalizing it, which Radley Balco points out is higher than the percentage of Americans who approve of Obama as president. So he says someone at the press conference should ask him what he thinks the fact that pot would beat him in a presidential election. But, you know, it's news, but it's sad that it's taken this long, and it's sad that so many people still think it should be illegal. There are many angles. If you're interested in public safety, as I think pretty much everyone is, you can point out that the drug war makes violent crime go up. It creates organized crime because the black markets that emerge to fill the need of the demand for drugs is invariably outside of the scope of the normal legal channels, and so we have the same situation we had with alcohol prohibition all over again. But it's worse now because the drug war has completely—it's caused all this violence in Mexico this time around. We have tens of thousands have died because of the drug war. These cartels and drug gangs are not a result of them being drugs. It's the result of the drugs being illegal. The drug most associated with violence just in itself is alcohol. Yet, the alcohol market isn't violent. You know, people, Jack Daniels isn't shooting people and kidnapping people because they can sell their product on the open market. And that's one of the most dangerous drugs there is, but it's legal, and it's better that it's legal, because when it was illegal, things were even worse. There's also, of course, the point about liberty. Conservatives and those who oppose legalizing drugs still might think that there's something to the idea of individual liberty, and the drug war has compromised individual liberty, and not just with respect to drugs. It's decimated the Fourth Amendment. if it weren't for the drug war, it's hard to imagine them being able to push through the Patriot Act and so many other things in response to 9/11, because Americans used to be jealous of their right to privacy and to be secure in their persons and papers and effects. There's civil asset forfeiture, people getting their stuff confiscated by the government without due process. We're all treated as suspects because of the drug war. And, of course, none of this, it costs a whole bunch of money. Anyone who thinks that we need to turn around the fiscal insolvency of the government has to support some common sense in this area, because many billions are spent fighting the drug war. And, of course, it doesn't work in stopping drug abuse or even reducing it by any substantial amount. In prison, people can get drugs. And in prison, the government has total control. It's the total state in prison, which means you can turn America into a prison and there will still be drug sales. And so the choice isn't between a drug-free America with totalitarian controls on our behavior, or a country with freedom and drugs, though, to be honest, even if that was a choice, I'd choose the latter, because I believe in freedom. But that's not even the choice. The choice is drugs and freedom, or drugs and statism, and crime and corruption. So the whole law enforcement community has been, it's been thoroughly corrupted by the drug war and the money that is involved in the drug market. To be honest, the arguments for legalizing drugs are so numerous and compelling to me that I'm stuck with wondering, what is it that's keeping people from seeing this, other than the symbolism of having the government, which we all know is the most corrupt, incompetent, dishonest entity in the country. Conservatives say they believe this in particular. Why is having that entity being nominally against some drugs worth all of these horrible costs to our social fabric and our freedom?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it does come down to if it's legal, that means it's the government saying that it's okay. And, you know, there's that quote from the Supreme Court justice saying government is the moral teacher and all that kind of thing. And a lot of people, you know, raise their kids to understand the law and morality as sort of this two-way street, you know, where one causes the other and it's not altogether clear which way it goes. And so, you know, there are just a lot of concerned moms, not to just insult them, but there's a lot of concerned moms, Anthony, who would just say, but you're saying it's okay. If it's legal, then it's okay to go ahead and shoot heroin into your scalp until it kills you.
Well, is it okay to drink alcohol until it kills you? Is it okay to smoke cigarettes, until it kills you? These drugs, of course, are the ones that kill by far the most Americans. And then prescription drugs are behind that. But illicit drugs, the honest truth is they tend not to kill as many people, not just because they're illegal, but because they're not as lethal. But they do cause immense harm and suffering. But how does a free, responsible society deal with these problems? Does it deal with it with a federal police state, with militarized enforcement, by bribing murderous regimes abroad, by giving money to the Taliban to suppress opium, by playing both sides of the Mexican drug war, by shutting down medical marijuana dispensaries while grandmas with glaucoma and cancer suffer because they can't use one of the most harmless chemical substances in the history of humankind? Is this what we do to deal with drug abuse, or do we deal with it at the family and community and church level? I think the latter is far more humane and civilized.
All right, hold it right there. It's Anthony Gregory, independent.org, and anthonygregory.com. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. Scott Horton, I'm talking with Anthony Gregory from the Independent Institute. about the war on drugs in America. And now, Anthony, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what you think America would look like if drugs were legal. And I guess you could take this one of two ways, the kind of I dream of genie, all drug laws and drug police, you know, vanish kind of overnight sort of situation, or whether maybe if the federal government just got out of it sort of the way they ended prohibition by outsourcing it to the states that regulate the hell out of alcohol but still allow people to drink it. You know, pick, choose, say whatever you want. I don't care.
Well, I think that the latter is more likely. I think if the feds got out of it, the states would continue to prosecute drugs to some degree, but I think they would liberalize their laws because it would be very difficult to keep as draconian a drug war without federal support. I think some states would start legalizing marijuana, and it wouldn't take very long, in my opinion, for that to become legal all over the country or much of the country. And then other drugs, they'd start to decriminalize some of them, try to deal with them in a less brutal way than they do. Of course, I do support having the free market be the regulatory mechanism by which society deals with drugs, that and social norms and morals. And so I don't support any government laws against drugs of any kind. And I think that would be much better. If we had that, I think what you would see is that it wouldn't be the nightmare that people would envision, because there was a time in this country when you could buy heroin at the pharmacy. You could buy cocaine. You could buy it for, children could buy these drugs even. They would go to the pharmacist and they'd buy them in measured doses. And there weren't any more drug problems than there are now. In fact, much of the potency of drugs in the cases of meth and crack, these are consequences of the drug war, because as the law comes down on transporting and distributing drugs, it becomes more and more efficient for illicit drug dealers to carry increasingly potent versions of the drugs. This happened with alcohol prohibition too, which made liquor more popular. And then after alcohol prohibition was lifted, people began shifting somewhat to wine and beer, because and that would happen, I think, with illegal drugs too. I don't think they'd be quite as potent, but people would be able to buy them and in pharmacies or wherever. But there would be of course social rules. Private property owners would set rules. I think that, you know, at the workplace, they wouldn't want you mainlining or during the lunch hour. And families would set rules for their kids, as they do with other matters. And I don't think the world would fall apart at all. There would still be addicts, as there are now, and there would still be recreational users who do so with varying degrees of responsibility, as there are now, but they wouldn't be in fear of their liberty constantly. They wouldn't have to fear the government at all times and worry about being prosecuted. People who needed help would be able to seek it without any fear of being jailed and brutalized by the horrendous American criminal justice system. Our liberties would be restored to a degree that I don't think we've seen in our lifetime. It would be one of the greatest triumphs of freedom in America to have the drug war end. And many other freedoms that have been under attack, it would be harder for them to be under attack. One thing I say to conservatives is the right to bear arms only became so under attack because of prohibition. First, alcohol prohibition, which created the alcohol gangs and Al Capone and the shootouts and the Tommy gun, and all this stuff is what led to the first federal gun laws. And then, again, with the drug war, created all this gang violence, which has been used as a rationale to restrict guns. So there are all sorts of people's, all sorts of freedoms associated with the drug war that have been eroded because of these laws, that we would start to reclaim some of these laws. The governments at all levels would be a little less brutal, in some cases significantly so. The police would be less militarized. There'd be far less gang violence. And this trouble with Mexico, in my honest opinion, would end. All of this mass violence, the 40,000 deaths or so, this would end. All this, the business with the corrupt financing of the or arming of the drug cartels, of course, would end. American foreign policy would, of course, continue to be very problematic because it's not just drugs that's involved there, but the drug war certainly doesn't help American foreign policy be logical or humane, with the U.S. Having sponsored brutal regimes and poisoned Latin Americans' crops and all of this. There's a lot of great things that would come about if we just looked at it logically and started with a principle that you don't put someone in a cage because what they choose to put in their body. And when you don't understand that principle and you try to go against people's right to control their bodies to this intimate a degree, what follows is tyranny, corruption, mass violence, and the disintegration of the social fabric.
You should really have your own radio show, Anthony. That's some great stuff, man.
Thanks.
That's far better than I could have done. But now, so here's the thing. It seems like when people talk about decriminalization and sort of kind of a half-hearted thing, I think it comes back to kind of the political message of saying it's okay or not kind of thing. But it seems like the real core of this is not the possession charge on the side of the users. It's the drug trade that needs to be legalized, needs to be turned over to the free market, where instead of having criminal gangs, as you say, you just have regular businesses or the ones you buy your drugs at Walgreens or whatever.
Well, sure. I mean, if people have a right to control what goes in their body, then others have a right to sell them substances. But as a capitalist, I don't think that I don't believe in demonizing the drug suppliers. Now, if they're being violent, if they're criminals separate from the drug trade, or if they use violence to protect their turf, then they're menaces, and they're not acting in a civilized manner, and they are in fact bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that we should demonize and criminalize the production and distribution and sale of drugs any more than we do with cigarettes and alcohol. And I know that this comes up over and over when drug reformers make this comparison, but it's so perfectly valid. I was looking at a chart the other day in The Economist where they estimated harm caused to users and harm caused to others around the users by all the different drugs. And, of course, the number one was alcohol. In terms of harming others because of people getting in accidents, the many homicides that are associated with alcohol, and the overdoses with alcohol. And it's a different kind of problem, but in the very long term, tobacco can be very bad for people. Now, that doesn't mean people don't have a right to do these things. And many of the people who are very bad on the drug war question recognize this when it comes to cigarettes. They think restrictions on whether you should be allowed to smoke in bars are paternalistic. They think cigarette taxes are targeting people based on their personal choices. And they're right. But with the drug war, the problem is so much greater because people are actually being dragged by the many thousands into cages where they're being housed with violent people. The prisons in America are gruesome, where there's brutality. It's basically slavery where people end up at the total, controlled by their cellmates and these gangs, their violence, the prison guards don't help, and there's rape is a very common problem, which people don't like to talk about in this country, but it's a horrendous problem. And when you put people in prison for distributing or using substances, what are you trying to do? You're trying to protect them from themselves. You're trying to stop them from ruining their lives by subjecting them to that? It's the most insane thing.
That's a good 20 minutes worth. Thanks very much, Anthony. I really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that's my buddy Anthony Gregory, independent.org, anthonygregory.com, lewrockwell.com, fff.org for his wisdom.